You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-host this morning, Wayne Magyar, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University, Chicago. Wayne, did you do anything special for St. Patrick's Day yesterday?
I did not. No, I was not part of all the craziness going on down here. But it was a nice day. All the revelers had at least good weather. So
it amazes me. I always think of St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 38 degrees, driving rain, strong wind, horrible weather. And yesterday you said it hit 71 degrees here at Lakefront. Nice. Yeah. And it was just a beautiful day. And tomorrow, St. Joseph Day.
Yes, it is.
We've got St.
And March Madness continues, too.
Oh, this is just beginning. Are you
usually
kidding?
We spend about a half hour preparing for the program. Today, we spent a half hour talking about the... And congratulations to Father Tom Bema, whose team won yesterday.
Back along those lines, at perfect time. Phone number, 312.
Once more.
255-8408, 312-255-8408 here on Relevant Radio 950. And three information evenings to explain the Called and Gifted Lay Ministry Formation Program in the Archdiocese of Chicago will be held later this month and in April at three sites in Cook and Lake Counties. Our guests for the first half of our show today have something to do with this very important program. We welcome Father Tom Bema, Provost of the University of St. Mary the Lake, Mundelein Seminary, and Director of the Lay Ministry Formation Program, and also Linda Corey, the Associate Director of Lay Ministry Formation Program. And folks, Father Tom Bema and I, we are classmates, 71 Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. So Tom, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary of high school in May.
Actually, 44 years since we met.
We met back
just
in,
to make it worse.
We met back in September.
That first student
67.
Convocation. The first Spirit Day
Notre Dame,
football season.
Are they going to have a 40th reunion? And are you going to go? Did you go to the 30th or the 25th?
Yes, I went to the 30th and 25th. Yeah. Did not. I've not received.
I always like
the 40th.
To ask people that go to reunions. I mean, you know, what was your assessment of your classmates? I mean, do you think when you came back after that event, did you think, "Wow, I really look good for my age," and time has not been kind to the others, or did you feel just the opposite?
Well, Father Greg has aged much more gracefully than some of the rest of us.
I think Tom is. Tom looks a lot older. We know each other well. Linda, jump at any time. And the thing is, but also congratulations to Father Bema's college. Cause remember, after high school,
Butler
I went on
Bulldogs.
To Niles College Seminary of Loyola. Tom moved on to Butler in Indiana. And then at the end of Butler, I think, took a year off and then entered Mundelein Seminary.
No, I did an extra year of studies to get a second major.
Oh, okay. And so I was ordained in 79 and Tom
He was much more of a serious
80.
Academic than you were. He
That's
was spending
true.
All of his time.
How about sports for 300?
Sports for 300. Well, and then I also go pretty far back with Wayne because we met at the Parliament of the World's Religions in 1993. So we're actually racking up some years there,
20
too.
20 years almost, yeah.
Did you really? Where was that held at? Yeah.
Chicago, at the Palmer House Hilton.
18 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Linda, jump in.
Wow.
Linda's kind of new to all this.
We're fresh out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Why don't we talk about lay ministry? That might be fun.
Okay, Tom, define what is lay ministry?
Well, that's actually a more complicated question than it sounds, because to adequately describe it, we have to first talk about what the apostolate of the laity is. And the Second Vatican Council is really the first of the general councils of the Church, so in really 2,000 years, that focuses on the lay vocation. And Vatican II, in its decree on the apostolate of the laity, was really groundbreaking in the sense of talking about how, in addition to understanding baptism and confirmation as the sacraments which empower members of the church to their own personal sanctification, that with them comes a mission to sanctify the world. So that's the general notion of the lay vocation that emerges out of the sacraments. What happened very quickly after Vatican II, however, is something that was not really envisioned in the decree, or at least not explicitly spoken about it, is that laity also began to feel a call to serve within the church, to offer themselves and their gifts to the service of the mission of the church, which is particularly the sanctification of its members. And so the way to first understand lay ministry is to start by saying, you know, we all have this call to holiness. Secondly, that call to holiness, which is empowered by baptism and confirmation, sends us into the world to sanctify our ordinary lives, our business, our family, our communities, and all of that. But then a distinct vocation exists for laity to serve out of their baptism and confirmation in the ministry of the church.
Okay. Linda, how does what Father Tom just described really translate into the work that you do in really bringing in, nurturing, and can we use the word training and preparing the laity for ministry within the church?
Yeah, I would definitely say that training and preparation are some of the most important elements of what we do with the laity right now. Of course, you know, to be a minister, you can exist both in the form of being a volunteer or being a professional. And we have several programs through the Archdiocese that directly address these.
What are those programs, Linda?
We have Called and Gifted, which is a volunteer lay ministry program. And what that consists of is 2 years of training and preparation in which we provide the laity with what I think is probably one of the best educational deals in the whole city, which is at three sites across the Archdiocese, whether you be down south at St. Xavier or at Gordon Tech or up at University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein. We provide 2 years' worth of classes from some of the top professors in the whole region on, you know, different topics such as Christology, ecclesiology, Catholic identity. So academically, the volunteers are formed in this way, which is really exciting because one doesn't have to apply to an entire degree program in order to get this top-notch education. And then we meet once a Saturday for 2 years, excluding the summer, to work on the formational element of their development.
When you say, wait, once a Saturday, how often?
About once a month a Saturday.
Exclude summer.
Excluding summer, right. And, you know, there's different topics there that have to do with personal development and spiritual development, really developing a community of ministers. And that's for volunteer lay ministers, so people that will be doing different ministries within their parish. And also there's another more distinctive vocation that arises, which is a lay ecclesial minister, which is serving to be in a professional role as laity doing ministry.
Now, Father Tom, churches. Define what is a lay ecclesial minister that Linda just talked about.
Right. The distinguishing element of the lay ecclesial minister is that the bishop calls and commissions them to service in the local church, the archdiocese. So it's not, first of all, professional in the sense that somebody's getting paid for a job or all of that. That's not the way we envision ministry, although frequently that's part of how it operates. The real key thing is that a person receives a higher level of training, and then the bishop says that he establishes a special relationship with them, somewhat analogous to what the clergy have, but distinctive, of course, for the lay vocation.
Give us an example of a role that a lay ecclesial minister might hold.
In each diocese, that the answer to that question would be different. In the Archdiocese of Chicago, Cardinal George has specified that the roles of Director of Religious Education and Pastoral Associate constitute lay ecclesial ministry. But here's the important point. Lay ecclesial ministry is a vocation It's something that we have discerned the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. It's a call from God, first and foremost, ratified by a call from the bishop. They may serve in different certified roles, but the heart of the LEM is this vocational call affirmed by the call of the bishop.
Okay. I want to pick up on that after a break because lay ministry as vocation, and Linda, in your comments earlier using the word formation and formational, all of this comes into play, and I think we need to talk about that a little bit just to kind of put it in perspective. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Our guests are Father Tom Bayma, Provost at University of St. Mary the Lake in Mundelein, and Linda Curry, who is the Associate Director of Lay Ministry. It's 9:10 in the morning. We'll be right back.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
Hi, it's Drew Mariani here. Hey guys, are you feeling disconnected? Are you struggling at home or work? Are you looking to ignite your faith again? Then join me and hundreds of other men for the 2011 Chicago Men's Conference on Saturday, March 19th at the Marriott Oakbrook. Joining me will be His Eminence Cardinal Francis George, Sean Forrest, and former New York Giant Chris Godfrey. Plus, you'll hear from other men on how the Holy Spirit has changed their lives. Register now at CatholicMenOfChicago.org. That's CatholicMenOfChicago.org. Hope to see you March 19th.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is exactly 9:13 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. If you are a graduate or been part of the Called and Gifted program, give us a call, 312-255-8408, and tell us your experience about it when you graduated or if you're thinking about entering the program. And I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors. And Wayne, you've got the mic.
We're talking about lay ministry as vocation prior to the break. And Father Tom, you were talking about the lay ecclesial minister and the difference, as you described it, the distinct vocation or the difference in the type of vocation between a lay ecclesial minister and a lay minister. Talk a little bit about lay ministry as vocation, and then a little bit about what you indicated was sometimes confusing, the process of lay ecclesial minister formation.
Sure. I guess I could describe it as various degrees of specificity or... adjusting the microphone here. So lay ministry, as Linda was describing it, the kind of general lay ministry, is generally exercised by Christians as volunteers. They find a need, they step forward to fill it. Lay ecclesial ministry really, however, is feeling a call, first of all, from God, that you're being asked to place your gifts at the disposal of the local church and to be directed by the church in a more intentional way as to how your gifts are to be used. Consequently, it means establishing a relationship with the local bishop and placing yourself at the disposal of his pastoring of the local church. I think that's it's a difference in degree, not in, okay. in kind. All lay ministry is lay ministry, sure. empowered by baptism.
And the process of preparation, give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch. How does that happen?
Well, now, again, this is a lay ecclesial ministry is a new vocation within the church. And so the process is in process of being defined. But in the Archdiocese of Chicago, Cardinal George has laid out a fairly clear and logical step-by-step course of movement that a person goes through. So the very first thing is discerning this call from God, that the individual feels that the Lord is calling them to place their gifts at the service of the local church. Cardinal George has been very strong that once that's discerned, there needs to be a serious period of training and preparation. And that's where the Together in God Service program comes in, which equips the layperson at the graduate level of theological studies.
Now, Together in God Service is different from Called and Gifted.
Yeah. You might think of Called and Gifted as the undergraduate program, and okay. Together in God Service as the graduate
that's
program.
Extremely helpful. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So a person would study at one of the area schools of theology and ministry, like Loyola or Catholic Theological Union. And then they would work with the University of St. Mary of the Lake in the areas of human, spiritual, and pastoral formation. So it's the same four pillars that we use in priestly education.
And to add to that, one of the things that the Cardinal's been very committed to is to supporting people that are going to be pursuing lay ecclesial ministry, both emotionally and psychologically and in terms of providing them with the community, but also with the financial support to help them go through school, because certainly going to school can be quite expensive. So the Archdiocese has really devoted quite a bit of funds to make sure that people can get this higher degree of education, as well as the schools have participated in this. Loyola and CTU and St. Xavier have also gone ahead and reduced some of their tuition so that students can afford to get their master's degrees.
No, it's very
in this
interesting
area.
As both Tom and Linda, as you speak, this is relatively, as you mentioned, a recent phenomenon because.
Just
Tom,
10 years.
Sure, when you and I were in the seminary from, I was there 75 to 79, you were 76 to 80 at Mundelein, St. Mary of the Lake Seminary. This was a non-existent program in the Archdiocese. They were talking about lay ministry and involvement. But all you're describing, I mean, this was nowhere on the radar screen back in the 70s.
Yeah, and I would have to say that this is, again, the movement of the Holy Spirit unfolding
correct.
What
absolutely.
Vatican II really means in the church.
Does a lay ecclesial minister promise to stay within the diocese, that they are commissioned by the bishop? Do they have a commitment to be there for an extended period of time?
There's a commitment of 2 years that okay. That comes with it. It's kind of a gentleman's or a gentlewoman's okay. agreement to... to serve this specific diocese.
Yeah, Tom, keep moving along with that process you were talking about.
Right, so the training and preparation is just one phase of it. Then after it, there's a step called certification. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing, so you got to hang with me here. The preparation of a lay ecclesial minister is preparing someone for a vocational path. Similarly, though, they're being trained in the Archdiocese of Chicago to either be a pastoral associate or a director of religious education. So after their training and preparation is over, they enter what we call the certification process, where they are certified for one of those roles. Okay, but again, the role is not what makes a person a lay ecclesial minister. It's the vocational path. But here in Chicago, we certify people for one of those two roles. Once they have been certified by the Archdiocesan Certifying Agency, then they're able to be called by the bishop into the vocation of lay ecclesial ministry. And that's kind of the critical thing, where they establish this relationship with the local bishop, who is the pastor of the whole archdiocese. Then after that, once they get a job, A pastor, for instance, you, Father Greg, at St. Mary's may choose to engage the services of a lay ecclesial
and
minister
to hire the individual.
As director of religious education. What's different then is, addition to you simply hiring them as a parish employee, is they then receive a commission from the archbishop into that role as a lay ecclesial minister.
Okay, hold that thought there, Tom. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors, and our guest, Father Tom Bema, Provost of the University of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein Seminary, and Director of the Lay Ministry Formation Program there. Wow, Wayne, what a long title. And Linda Corey, Associate Director of Lay Ministry Formation. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Give us a call and do not touch that dial.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities, from Victrolas to steam engines, at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st, at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118. The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Services' Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Welcome back, Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Father Tom Bema, who's the provost at St. Mary of the Lake up in Mundelein and director of Lay Ministry Formation, is our guest, along with Linda Curry, who's the associate director of Lay Ministry Formation. And Linda, upcoming in March and also April is three information sessions to explain the Called and Gifted program, which, as Father Tom described earlier, is kind of the undergraduate program of Lay Ministry Formation. Tell us what happens and what someone who may be intrigued by the conversation this morning is going to find out at one of these sessions.
And before you say that, if anybody's gone through the Called and Gifted program, give us a call, 312-255-8408, because maybe you will spark an interest in one of our listeners to explore this possible program. Linda, take it away.
Yeah, so the information nights are happening. I tend to find these to be the most productive way for people to find out about the program, because a lot of questions come up, especially about how this can fit into somebody's life in a very practical way. There's a lot of demands that come from it. The fruits are wonderful, but at the same time, it takes a real commitment. So it's good to sit with people, see their individual situations, and see how their call from God can fit.
So Linda,
into this
if they
program.
Come to this informational evening, mm-hmm. there's no on their part making a commitment or sign on the dotted line type thing.
Oh no, it's just a time of kind of fellowship, really, with fellow Catholics in the diocese that are interested in deepening, you know, their commitment to the church. And we're doing it on three different nights, kind of to represent the different sectors of this huge archdiocese. Which
when are they?
On March 22nd, which is this Tuesday, it's going to be at Gordon Tech on California.
What time?
And that is at 7 o'clock, usually lasts till about 8 o'clock.
So Tuesday, March 22nd, 7 p.m., Gordon Tech.
Yep.
Okay, keep going.
And then March 29th, which is the next Tuesday, we're going to be at University of St. Mary of the Lake, so at the seminary, once again, at 7 o'clock.
So off of Route 176.
Route of 176, or you can take 45 in. Mm-hmm. And then on April 5th, which is also a Tuesday, we're going to be down at St. Xavier University. If you want any specific information about this, it can be found on the web at www.usml.edu. And then
I'll do that one more time.
www.usml.edu. And you can click on the lay ministry button, and it'll take you to the information about the information nights.
And Linda, what about a phone number? They want to call you directly.
That would be to call our administrative assistant, Donna Plage. Her number is 847-837-4504.
That number once again.
847-837-4504.
When you actually go to the home page, the button is called Ministry Formation on the first page, and then you just keep following that till you find lay ministry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks.
What if you're like me and don't know the computer real well? Just make a phone call.
Just make a phone call.
Just walk over to St. Xavier's in April.
Or walk over to your parish school.
Saddle up the horse and head on south.
Walk over to your parish school and have one of the eighth graders show you how.
Yeah, or that.
Kindergartners.
What kind of questions do you get from curious Catholics who are who may attend a session like this and feel that they have potentially a vocation, feel that they have a calling to really get more deeply immersed in life of the church?
I tend to find that a lot of people don't feel, I don't know, as if they're good enough to do it, or as if they've, you know, people haven't been in school for a while, so they're intimidated by it, and they feel like they feel this call, but they don't know if they're equipped to follow through with it. And I think one of the wonderful things about the program is it shows people just how well God has equipped you. And everybody's situation is so different. Some people haven't been to school since high school. Some people have got there. We've gotten some people with some PhDs that go through it. It's just a different level of education about a very specific area in their faith.
Linda, if you graduate from the Called and Gifted program, as Father Tom mentioned, the undergraduate, upon, quote, graduation, what are some of the things you can do with it back in your parish?
Well, you'll be getting a certificate of studies from the University of St. Mary of the Lake. And what this does is it allows your pastor to know that you've been very well trained in this area, because in addition to the academic skills, you're also given pastoral skills and the important things that come with being somebody in a leadership position, which a lot of it is how to deal with people. So the pastor can approach you with a great deal of confidence, knowing that you've been given training in good, you know, Catholic theology as well as in pastoral skills.
We're running out of time, so I'm going to ask Father Tom to look into his crystal ball.
Okay.
The subject
regarding
of
the NCAA?
The subject
Butler?
Butler. Relax. The subject
No Bulldogs.
The subject of lay ministry, the participation of the laity in the church, both here in Chicago, across the nation, around the world, clearly has gotten attention, the energy of the faith communities. Where is lay ministry going? It seems as if it's becoming a more and more important and critical part of the faith life of Catholics, of the faith of the congregation, of the church, of community. How have you seen it? What do you see as maybe in 2 minutes the challenges going forward, and maybe some opportunities that we really haven't taken advantage of yet?
Well, I see two things in the crystal ball. One of the things that has always been so fascinating to me is that the way the Second Vatican Council has played out in Europe is drastically different than the way it's played out in the United States. In Europe, the main expression of renewal after the council have been what we call the ecclesial movements. These are things like the Focolare movement, Communion and Liberation, the Neocatechumenal Way, things like that, which are vital communitarian expressions of the faith, but that are also deeply formational and try to engage Catholics in really the first part of how I described the lay vocation, that is the sanctification of the world. That isn't how it happened here. And there's some fascinating new research done by a couple of scholars, and I'm betraying my theologian background here, but Putnam and Campbell just wrote a very interesting book called American Grace, in which they look at the uniqueness of American religion. And one of those uniquenesses is the strength of congregations. Now, this is a Protestant invention, but it's shot through our culture. Consequently, the renewal of Vatican II in the United States has been very, very focused on parish life. Now, that's not true in Europe. So I think that the way lay ministry has emerged in the United States is really a function of the vitality of the Catholic parish.
And on that note, we need to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Father Tom Bema, Provost of the University of St. Mary the Lake, Mundelein Seminary, and Director of the Lay Ministry Formation Program, and Linda Corey, Associate Director of Lay Ministry Formation. Linda and Father Tom, thank you for joining us. Keep up the great work. And to your Butler Bulldogs, may they keep marching forth in the NCAA. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Lent begins as ashes are applied in the shape of a cross to the foreheads of Catholics. We'll talk with Cardinal George about this solemn season. Do you want to see Michelangelo's famous Pietà without traveling to Rome? We'll show you how to experience the next best thing. And Chicago's Father Augustus Toten is a step closer to sainthood.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 a.m.
A lot of sharp tongues in the control room this morning.
I didn't say that. I didn't start. Brian.
Brian wanted to know where Loyola ranked in the NCAA playoffs. And now you're laughing about it.
That's just fine. About.
No, but I just thought you full disclosure, we're a very transparent operation here. Didn't want to hide anything from our listeners who know that we have a lot more fun during the breaks than they could ever imagine.
But no, so I thought I'd bring it up, and you're laughing. 1963.
So, duly noted.
NCAA. Won 63.
Yes, we did.
Great,
we
great team, and they were the underdogs.
And we are still the only, Joe, you know this as a loyal alum, we are the only team in Illinois to have ever brought home an NCAA championship.
That is true.
So there.
1960 was a great, great team.
I was 3 years old.
I was 10, and Joe wasn't even born. So on that note, Joe Boland is the Senior Director of Grants Management for Catholic Extension, a society that strengthens the church's presence and mission in under-resourced and isolated communities across the U.S. In that capacity, Joe travels to these areas and has talked with many, many Catholics who, supported by Catholic Extension through their grants, have created vibrant communities of church life and ministry. And Joe's in studio to share just a few of those stories with us this morning. Joe Boland, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you so much for having me on today. It's a pleasure.
I think any Catholic who's been involved is aware of Catholic Extension. But for those that are not, in a real brief way of explaining what
is
and
why.
In a brief I didn't say that.
That's Father Greg's moniker, by the way, in a brief nutshell.
In a brief nutshell.
Well, in a very brief nutshell.
In a brief nutshell.
Catholic Extension is an organization that I tell people is something that should make every Catholic proud. Because Catholic Extension is an organization working with under-resourced communities throughout the United States, making sure that the church works. And the church is not only operating, but that the church is thriving. And so it's very appropriate that we're headquartered here in Chicago, even though we are a national Catholic organization. We're headquartered here in Chicago, in the city that works, making sure that the church works across the United States, and most particularly in those areas that are isolated, that are under-resourced. And Catholic Extension really serves two primary purposes for the church. We've been around for 100 years and been doing the same two things. And the first task of Catholic Extension is really to raise awareness about the vibrant and transformative experiences of faith that people are having all across the United States, and especially in those areas where the church's presence is so critically needed. And Catholic Extension brings those faith communities to people's attention, to people like us in Chicago and in the Northeast who might not be aware of different experiences of church in places like the Delta of Mississippi, in places like Montana. So we raise that awareness. We have a magazine.
How many reached by the magazine?
The magazine right now, I believe, reaches, around 60,000 people. That is one of the ways in which we communicate.
It's a great magazine. Mm. I read it monthly.
And it's, speaking of the magazine, I get it and I read it, and it's easy when you're not paying attention to what Extension really does to look at those pictures and say, oh, that's way out there somewhere, or it's in another country. And I think something you said, Joe, struck me, and that is a reminder that Extension focuses here in the U.S. to the under-resourced areas, and there are
plenty of
great
them.
Need.
That's exactly right. And if you look at the church, you know, the way I think about it, you know, you have the domestic church. That's the church at home, the most important one, where it all starts. And then we have our local church. We have our parish, our local archdiocese. And then there's kind of this church across the United States, the national church. And that's really what Catholic Extension is focused on, those communities around the nation, of course, then the global church. And we know there are many great organizations working with needy communities and Catholic communities around the globe.
You know, what I have found, Joe, is that with the Catholic Extension magazine, in some of the issues last year, the year before, when they stole pictures from 40 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago, I find that fascinating. In some of the recent issues, they have had one issue that was dedicated to the years past, and you look at them in perspective, but I think people need to know that Catholic Extension, it connects with the church in the U.S., and there are many areas in dire poverty where without the help of Catholic Extension, the generosity of so many people, the word of the Lord would not be brought to them.
You're absolutely right, and we are uniquely positioned. We have 100 years of history with many of these organizations out there who have relied on Catholic Extension support. And it really it has produced results over those years. We have been into so many communities where our funding that we raise and we provide, which, by the way, is the second main function of Catholic Extension that I wanted to mention, we raise awareness, but we raise awareness for the purpose of raising funds.
And we want to talk about that when we come back, because one of your major responsibilities is to help disseminate those funds so they have the greatest impact. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We're talking about Catholic Extension. We'll be right back.
I'm Lisa Pilato, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Help us raise dollars for our veterans living at Cook's Manor. A Winter's Night fundraiser will take place on February 23rd. At 5 o'clock p.m., we will meet for drinks at Elephant and Castle on Wabash, and then head to Millennium Park for ice skating. Join us at our Faith Committee meeting on March 2nd and help us plan upcoming speakers in the series Faith in the Real World, which premiered in February and will feature one speaker every month until June. The Social Committee also meets in March on the 14th to plan upcoming social fundraising events. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 6th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back. Joe Boland is the Senior Director of Grants Management for Catholic Extension, joining us for the second portion of the program this morning. And especially now, Joe, when resources are so tough, economy is still struggling out there, one of the challenges I would imagine that you have in your role in Extension overall is how do you take the resources that you're so blessed and generous to get and make sure that they're going the farthest way for the greatest amount of return, if you will, or bang for the buck? Tell us a little bit about resource balancing, especially in these times with Extension.
Yeah. Well, we really see ourselves as investing, and I'm glad you framed it that way. Is, you know, we're working with communities where a $5,000 grant would go a lot farther than it would here in Chicago. On an annual basis right now, we're giving out about $20 million in resources. And we know that the need in the communities that we provide support for, which are 86 dioceses, we know that the need exceeds the resources that we currently have. So we're constantly in an effort to try to grow those resources, because we know that with the communities that we're working with, just a little bit of resources can go a long way. We're always telling our donors, you know, that $5 gift, we can make a difference with that $5 gift. And that $10 gift, we can do it.
You're on the road a lot. So tell us a story or two about some of the ways you've seen those dollars really manifest themselves
come alive
out there with a...
And it really, what I witness when I'm out there, and last year I visited about 40 different dioceses and innumerable communities. We give grants out to about 1,000 different communities a year. And, you know, one particular story that comes to mind is a religious woman who was working through a parish in a place called Pajaro, California. And it's a place where there is significant need. And they knew that they couldn't reach all of their parishioners. And so they wanted to establish this position for this religious sister, Sister Sandy. And so we were just simply paying her salary. And this woman religious, her job was to go out and to visit the families, the workers who work the fields locally, picking strawberries, working some of the other agricultural business that's in these areas. And her job was to visit them in their homes. And these people live in shacks, and they live in trailers, and they live in garages. And they came to us about a year ago. The diocese did, the bishop did, Sister Sandy, and said, we know we can reach more people. This parish can extend its reach to the poorest of the poor, which is precisely where the church needs to be. We can get there with your support. And so they put together a grant request, and I think it was about, I don't know how much it was, $20,000. To get this woman going. And within a couple of months, she had uncovered 60 families living in garages, living in shacks. And I was in one of the homes of one of these families. They invited us in. They're very wonderful, gracious people. They're very hardworking people.
But incredible poverty.
Incredible poverty right here in the United States. And, you know, you'd think, oh, California, sure, Pebble Beach. It was 45 minutes away from Pebble Beach. Well, that's not an impoverished area. But all you have to do is you drive to the isolated, the under-resourced areas, and it's not that far. It's right in our backyard.
So the grant that was able to be provided by Extension for the Sister Sandy then opened the door for her to visit an additional 60 families in the poorest of the poor area out west. And without that grant, it would not have been possible.
And that was 60 families just in the first couple of months. I'm sure that by now she's uncovered 120 families.
Give us another story, Joe.
Sure. One of the things that Catholic Extension provides support for is leadership development. And it's really exciting to see, the seminarians who are helping provide funding for, the deacons, the lay leaders who we're providing support for, how intensely they give of themselves once they have been commissioned by the church to do so and have been trained to do so. And I was so happy to meet in the Diocese of Salt Lake City, a diocese that is 85,000 miles, square miles, covers the entire state of Utah, a place where the Catholic community is growing by leaps and bounds. Actually, the diocese believes that they cannot even reach 130,000 people. They don't have institutions. They don't have churches yet
The Diocese of Salt Lake City, Utah, the diocese, covers the entire state.
Correct.
That's incredible. One diocese.
There are some places in that diocese where the Catholic population is booming, and maybe a priest will get to one of those mission churches once a month. And so they know that the future of their church is going to depend on the development of leaders, be they lay, deacon.
So have they ordained. Approached Catholic Extension then?
Absolutely. We have been working with them for a number of years to develop their leaders, ordained and lay leaders. And I met a deacon. Deacon Rubel Salas was his name. An incredible man who has a day job, and he works as a fitting counters is his job. And he told me that he received a call at a certain moment in which he received news that a parishioner from one of a distant mission churches was ill, and that there was no priest, there was no person to reach that person and visit them in their dying moments. And so he left his job, drove 200 miles, and went and visited this person and said it was important for the church to be there, and I knew I was the only person who could do it. These
Great
are people
story.
Who really change lives.
Yes. When you look at the work of Extension, Joe, is it safe to say that one of the long-term objectives, mission of Extension, especially in the area of leadership development, is to not only get to these impoverished places and help, but help them become also self-sustaining, so that at some point in the development of these impoverished areas, Extension can step away and really look fondly 10, 20, 30 years later on the fact that they planted the seed that really got them on their feet and self-sufficient.
Yes, and those are the results that we are seeing constantly. That we see our dollars as helping communities become more sustainable. And sometimes that process takes a good number of years. And our presence and our partnership is going to take a while to help them get to that point where they don't need our funding. But we see it all the time throughout the country, and we see churches becoming self-sustaining more and more, especially through things like challenge grants, where we show them, with this grant, you raise the other half, and you can do it. Mm-hmm. And they find that they can do it, and there's an experience of empowerment through our grant making.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Magyar. Time is exactly 9:50 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. Our guest, Joe Boland, who is a Senior Director of Grants Management for Catholic Extension. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Joe Boland is our guest. He is the Senior Director of Grants Management for Catholic Extension Society. Give us a perspective, Joe. Extension works throughout the U.S. in a number of dioceses, rural areas, mission areas. How does all of that work come together in a bundle, and how does it compare, for example, to the Archdiocese of Chicago as far as financial assets?
Sure. One of the great ways to quantify the need and the level of opportunity that we have in the mission dioceses that we serve is that if you add up all the assets of all the 86 dioceses we support throughout the United States and U.S. territories, their assets equal they actually don't even add up to the total assets of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
You're kidding me.
Wow. No.
The 86 combined dioceses would not add up to the Archdiocese of Chicago alone.
That's correct.
That's the type of poverty we're dealing with.
That's the type of poverty we're dealing with in terms of where they are institutionally. However, we say even though institutionally they might be impoverished, they are rich in faith. They're rich, of course, in their work ethic and their drive to bring the church to the most forgotten areas
so
in
Joe,
our nation.
So, you know, very simply, if Catholic Extension were to close their doors tomorrow, you'd have 86 dioceses that would literally be tremendously hit by the lack of support from Catholic Extension. And then we'd need thousands and thousands of people who would be literally unchurched.
Yes. In the past 10 years, Catholic Extension has been able to direct about $175 million worth of resources to these areas. And from what we're told from these communities, and especially in the most impoverished areas, that is that if it wasn't for Catholic Extension, not only would we not exist, but the faith would not be as dynamic as it has become. We wouldn't have leaders. We wouldn't have church. We wouldn't have this community.
You wouldn't have a Catholic presence.
That's exactly it.
Talk to us a little bit about partnering.
Sure. One of the ways in which we see ourselves as resourcing mission dioceses is not only through our financial resources, but in being smart, being innovative with how we cooperate with other institutions who can provide support and provide perhaps service and resources to these communities. So take, for example, Hispanic lay leadership, and I was very glad on your previous segment you were talking about the great importance of lay leadership. The Hispanic presence is booming in many of these dioceses. We have seen the church grow by leaps and bounds. In the state of Nevada, 111% growth in the Catholic population in 10 years. And there's a great need for lay leadership, especially in the Hispanic communities. We know that Hispanics now are 39% of the Catholic population in the United States. They're only 4% of paid professional lay leaders. And so Catholic Extension...
Now that's interesting.
So Catholic Extension has this perspective kind of nationally of everything that's going on, and we are putting together a partnership with other funding organizations and other networks across the country to create 100 new leadership, lay leadership positions, salaried positions, to get leaders in those areas where it's so critically needed.
You have a marvelous team there under the direction of Father Jack Wall, who's the president of Extension, and the statistics, the statistics are sobering, and the stories heartwarming. Give our listeners an opportunity to find out more information, maybe with a website and a telephone number, to either delve into more about Extension's ministries or better yet, write a check.
Yes. As I mentioned before, the need continues to exceed the resources that we can provide, and every dollar counts. And the communities that these dollars are going to are communities that can really stretch those dollars and really make a difference with them.
And greatly, greatly needed. So a phone number?
I encourage you to read about those stories. CatholicExtension.org is our website. Our magazine is there. You can read about all the...
CatholicExtension.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Go to CatholicExtension.org. Learn more about Catholic Extension and our work.
And the phone number?
The phone number, call me.
Good.
312-795-6052.
That number once again.
312-795-6052.
And what about getting involved in Extension in other ways? Are there opportunities for volunteers, for folks to help in other ways?
It's you know, our mission is really centered on financially providing resources, but we want to encourage people in any way that they feel is appropriate to get in touch with the mission dioceses. We have people who contribute to churches and sometimes make little pilgrimages themselves to go visit the church that they help build.
I want to say in a very special way thank you to Joe Boland, the Senior Director of Grants Management for Catholic Extension, and a society that's done a tremendous amount of work through Catholic Extension. Joe, thank you for being our guest, and keep up the great work and your enthusiasm. You're a man of deep faith. And special thanks also to co-host Wayne Majors. Wayne, have a great weekend. Happy St. Joseph Day to you and our
thank
listeners.
You. You're excellent not going to thank job. Brian, are you?
I'm like, what?
You're not going to thank Brian,
I'm not going to bother. No, I'm going to leave him out today.
Thank you so
special
much.
Special thanks to our producer, Diane Dunnigan, for great work, and also great work to our engineer, Brian Hockey, Hitman Brock, for his adequate job today. To our listeners, God bless all of you and have a blessed weekend. And Sunday or Monday begins spring. So winter is officially over. Thank God.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.